story from Mark chapter 7, an exciting story. A man that was both deaf and had a speech impediment, couldn't talk plain. And some friends brought him to Jesus and said, "Master, please put your hand on him and heal him." And the Bible says that Jesus took him aside away from the crowd. He put his fingers in his ears, and then he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, sighed and said, "Ephrata, be open." And the Bible says straightway or immediately his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed so that he spoke plain. And in verse 37, the Bible says, and they, his friends that were there with him, that Jesus took apart from the crowd, were beyond measure astonished. This morning, I have one desire for you, for each one of you. I want you to leave this place this morning beyond measure astonished, saying the same thing that this small group of people said about Jesus Christ. He hath done all things well. Now, again, these were not reserved people when they saw what happened. They had brought their friend to Jesus. He could not hear. He could not speak plain. Aside from the crowd, again, with just a small group of people gathered around him, Jesus worked a miracle. And they were beyond measure. In other words, they could not contain themselves. They were astonished at what Jesus did. You know, too many of us have lost our astonishment at what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and will do one day. And this morning, again, I want you to leave this place beyond measure astonished that he hath done all things well. I will tell you as we start, we do not know much about this man that was deaf and had a speech impediment. We don't know his name. We don't know who his parents were. We don't know how old he was. We don't know how long he had been in this condition. We don't know if he was a religious man or if he had nothing to do with God. We don't know if he was a Jew or maybe he was even a Gentile. We know nothing about his friends except for one thing. They were true friends. Because they said, if we can get our friend to Jesus, Jesus can help him. By the way, that's still true today. Amen. If you get your friends and your family to Jesus Christ, he can help them. And we need to be like them and bring our friends to Jesus Christ. So we don't know a lot about the particulars in this story. We don't know about a lot about the man who the miracle was worked upon. We don't know a lot about the friends who brought him to Jesus. But we do know one thing. When they brought him to Jesus, they saw a miracle. When they brought him to Jesus, they saw something they had never seen before. Because Jesus did to this man what man could not do. No doctor was able to cure his deafness. No doctor was able to cure his speech impediment. Jesus that day did something for that man that no other man could do. He did something that only God could do. He restored his hearing. He restored his speech. And in seeing that, the people that were with him said, "He hath done all things well." This morning, I want us to add our voices to theirs. I want us to consider some of the things that he hath done so that we can say with them, he hath done all things well. I ask you, first of all, to take a look at creation. Take a look at everything around us. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus was that Word. He was there in the beginning. And by his Word, everything was created. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The light that we need to live. The light that plants need to live. He created the firmament, the heavens, and the firmament that divided the waters above the heavens from the waters that below the heavens. And then he caused the waters to be separated and land to appear. So all the valleys and all the mountains were made by God. He made every river. He made every stream. And then he populated the earth. He created all the flowers and all the vegetables and all the trees and all the things that we look around and see today. God, Jesus Christ, made every single one of those things. All the animals, I mean, from the mighty elephant to the little ant to the roaring lion to the shy possum. Every one of those animals God made. We went to a place on vacation. We saw all these animals. We saw giraffes and gorillas and anteaters and warthogs. One of my favorite animals, the warthog. God made every single one of them. Every single one. And then his crowning... the crown of his creation. He made us. I mean, all you have to do is look in the mirror and say, what a wonderful, mighty God we have. I'm not talking about how you look. I mean, when I look in the mirror, I don't think that, you know, I'm much to look at, but I look at my body and I realize how it works, a little bit that I do, and say, what a mighty God. I mean, the circulation system that's inside this body, the electrons that go off in my head when sometimes when they're supposed to and sometimes when they're not. But I just look at it and think, what? I have to add my voices when I look at creation, when I look at everything that Jesus made. And by the way, don't believe this lie that we evolved. We did not evolve. God created everything that we see today. And we've been messing with it for 5,000 years, and it's still a beautiful, wonderful place to live. He hath done all things well. Look at creation. Number two, look at his life. Look at his life. 12 years old, in the temple, sought by his parents, and said, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? His years that he grew up, between 12 and 30, we don't hear anything about him other than he grew in stature and in favor with God and man. At his baptism, at the start of his public ministry, I think God was making a comment on the first 30 years of his life. Because as he came up out of the water, this was before he worked any miracles. This was before he preached any sermons. This was before he taught any lessons. As he was baptized and came up out of that water, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God was talking about the first 30 years of his life, other than his birth and that visit to the temple and the fact that he grew in wisdom and stature between God and man. Before God and man, we know nothing about it, but God knew all about it. And said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then we read the Gospels. We read the things that he did in his life. We read how he made the lame to walk, the blind to see. We read how he made the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. We read how he took crippled bodies and made them whole. We read how he fed the thousands and comforted the thousands, even called back to life those that were dead. Read the Gospels. See what those that witnessed his life had to say. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Pharisees, what'd they say about him? This man receiveth sinners. This man eats with sinners. This man is a friend of sinners. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Pilate, as he stood before Pilate, Pilate said about Jesus, I find no fault in him. Judas, the one who betrayed him, said, I have betrayed innocent blood. The centurion, one of the soldiers that stood by the cross, one of the soldiers that crucified him, after hearing what Jesus said, after watching how Jesus died, said, truly, this was the Son of God. Even the devils confessed that he was the Son of the Most High God. Not one person whose words are recorded in the book, not one person said anything bad about Christ. Not one person. We can join our voices to theirs and say, he hath done all things well. Number three, I want you to look at the impact that his life and death has had on you and on I. I want you to think about the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life. I can remember the first time I heard Brother John's testimony. He was all caught up in some things of the world. And he said one night he came to the end of his rope and said, I know my life had to change. And so he called his brother. And in the middle of the night, his brother led him to Jesus Christ. Every time Brother John prays, if you listen, one way or another, he says this. He says, thank you, Lord, for what you did in my life. Thank you for how you changed my life. I don't have time this morning, but I could go up and down the aisles. I could pick somebody from just about every aisle because I know your testimonies. I've heard you talk about what Jesus did in your life, and I could share this morning how Jesus made a change in your life. How he took your life and gave it new meaning. How he took your life and gave it new purpose. How he took your life and gave it a new set of priorities. How he took your life and made it part of his family. Jesus has changed every single person in this room that names his name as their Savior. He's changed us. When we got saved, all things became new. All things are passed away and all things have become new. And we can say with those that were gathered around this deaf man that was healed, this mute man that was healed, we can say, based on what he's done in our life, not what he's done for somebody else, but what he's done for us personally, he hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. And then number four, I want you to look to the future. I want you to look with me into heaven. One day, this body that I've inhabited for 62 years plus, 62? Yeah, 62 years plus, is going to die. Almost forgot for a minute, Brother John, I forgot. It's going to die. And I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm going to stand before God the Father. And God the Father is going to look at my life, and he's going to see a life of sin, a life of disobedience, a life of wickedness. There's nothing in my life that I've done to deserve the kindness of God. There's nothing in my life that I've done to deserve the grace that God has extended to me. But he's not going to look at my life and pass judgment. He's going to turn to the shelf behind him and take out a book. It's called the Book of Life. And he's going to open that book of life to the M's. And he's going to scan down the names of those names that start with M. And in that book of life, he's going to find my name. He's going to find my name. And then next to my name, he's going to look and he's going to recall what happened when I was 16 years old, when I knelt beside my pastor in his office, beside an old red vinyl couch. And down on my knees, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. He's going to find my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because when I was a teenager, I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that there was a penalty for that sin. And that penalty was to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. And my pastor told me that because I was a sinner, I deserved that price of sin, separation from God. But the good news of this book was that Jesus Christ died. And when he died, he paid for all my sin. All of them, every single one of them, he paid for all of them. And if I'd ask him, he'd save me. And so down on my knees beside my pastor, I admitted that I was a sinner. I told God that I understood. I knew what I deserved. But I believe that Jesus did die for me. And I asked him to save me. And in the book of life, beside my name, God's going to see what I did when I was a teenager. He's going to step out from behind the bench and he's going to take me by the hand. He said, come on, I want to show you something. He's going to take me to a place where I will live forever. And he said, hey, there's your mansion. It was built for you by Jesus Christ. He's been working on it all the years between the time you got saved and the time you came to heaven. That's your place. Let me introduce some of your neighbors. There's Timothy and there's Titus. And the Apostle Paul lives down the street and Peter lives around the corner. And Your grandparents, their places are down the street too, and this is where your dad's been. And I'm going to point out all the people that not only I know from the Bible, but all the people I've known in my life that have gone to heaven before me. You're going to say, come on, let's eat. And we'll be able to sit down at a table and enjoy food where there's no calories, there's no cholesterol. We won't have to worry about getting fat or our arteries stopping up. We'll be able to enjoy that manna that God serves at his banqueting table. But then the best part of all, I'm going to come face to face with the one who died for me. I'm going to see the scars in his hands and in his feet. I'm going to see the wound in his side. I'm going to see the back that was tore open by that whip and the cat of nine tails. I'm going to see the wounds on his head that the crown of thorns made. And I'm going to fall down on my knees before that Savior. And I'm going to look up and I'm going to say, thou hast done all things well. This morning, I want you to be astonished beyond measure. We take for granted so much what Jesus has done for us. This old boy would be headed for hell without any hope, without the Lord Jesus Christ. But I stand before you this morning, a new creature, redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a risen Savior. He had to go to the grave, but he didn't stay there. He's alive. My advocate. One day I'm going to see him in heaven, and I'll join my voices to those men that we read a bit about in Mark 7. I'll join my voices to all creation. I'll join my voice to yours. And I'll look to my Savior and say, he hath done all things well. Let me ask you this morning, is your name in the book of life? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the only hope that you have for heaven. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to God but by him. You're a sinner this morning. The Bible says all have sinned. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never come to him, would you come to him this morning? Would you come the same way that I came? Just with childlike faith that says, I know I'm a sinner. I believe what the Bible says. There's a penalty for that sin. But I also believe what the Bible says, that Jesus died to pay for it. And I'm coming to you, Jesus, this morning, asking you to save me. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call, he'll save you. If you call, he'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories, the true stories that are in it about people just like us who Jesus encountered and changed their lives. He still does that today. He'll change our lives if we'll come to him and we'll let him. And so I pray for every person here that doesn't know him as their Savior. Every person who's still in their sin, who's still under the condemnation of sin, the punishment of sin. Father, help them understand that the only hope that they have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to come to him this morning as a sinner in need of a Savior, with the simple request, Lord Jesus, save me, save me. And he will, he will. I pray for the many Christians that are here, Father. I pray we never get over our salvation, so great a salvation. I pray we never neglect it, we never take it for granted. Every time that we take the Lord's Supper, every time we think about it, we would say, what a great God that we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. And we would love you more and serve you better. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.